Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana.
His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri the Prabhupada. Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Granta Raja, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, all glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text number 28. Please repeat. Tam eva manasa grinnan. Babhuva pramodottama. Anantaram vidarbhasya. Rajasinghasya veshmani. Tameva manasa grinnan. Babuha pramadottama. Anantaram vidarbhasya. Rajasinghasya veshmani. Tameva manasa grinnan. Babhuva pramadottama. Anantaram vidarbhasya. Rajasinghasya veshmani. Tameva manasa grinnan. Babhuva pramadottama. Anantaram vidarbhasya. Rajasinghasya veshmani. Pramadottama Anantaram Vidarbhasya Raja Singhasya Vishmani. Tameva Manasa Grihnan. Tameva Manasa Grihnan. Anantaram Vidarbhasya Raja Singhasya Vishmani. Tam, her, eva, certainly, manasa, by the mind, grihnan, accepting, babhuva, became, pramada, woman, uttama, highly situated, anantaram, after death, vidarbhasya, of Vidarbha, Rajasinghasya, of the most powerful king, Vaishmani, at the house. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Paranjana gave up his body while remembering his wife, and consequently, in his next life, he became a very beautiful and well-situated woman. He took his next birth, as the daughter of King Vidarbha, in the very house of the king. Please repeat. King Paranjana gave up his body while remembering his wife. And consequently, in his next life, he became a very beautiful and well-situated woman. He took his next birth as the daughter of King Vidarbha, in the very house of the king. Purport. Since King Paranjana thought of his wife at the time of death, he attained the body of a woman in his next birth. This verifies the following verse in Bhagavad Gita 8.6. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantyante kalevaram tong tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Quote, whatever state of being one remembers, when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. When a living entity is accustomed to think of a particular subject matter or become absorbed in a certain type of thought, he will think of that subject at the time of death. At the time of death, one will think of the subject that has occupied his life while he was awake, lightly sleeping, or dreaming, or while he was deeply sleeping. After falling from the association of the Supreme Lord, the living entity thus transmigrates from one bodily form to another according to nature's course, until he finally attains the human form. If he is absorbed in material thoughts and ignorant of spiritual life, and if he does not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who solves all questions of birth and death, he will become a woman in the next life, especially if he thinks of his wife. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.1, Karmana Daiva Netrena, a living entity acts piously and impiously, and sometimes in both ways. All actions are taken into account, and the living entity is offered a new body by his superiors. Although King Paranjana was overly attached to his wife, he nonetheless performed many pious, fruitive activities. Consequently, although he took the form of a woman, he was given a chance to be the daughter of a powerful king. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.41, Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvati samaha shuchinam srimatam gehe yoga brashto bhajayate. Quote, the unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people, or into a family of rich aristocracy. If a person falls from the path of bhakti yoga, God realization, due to attachment to fruitive activity, philosophical speculation, or mystic yoga, he is given a chance to take birth in a high and rich family. The higher authorities appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead thus render justice to the living entity according to the living entity's desires. Although King Puranjana was overly absorbed in thoughts of his wife and thus became a woman, he took birth in the family of a king due to his previous pious activities. The conclusion is that all our activities are taken into consideration before we are awarded another body. Narada Muni therefore advised Vyasadeva that one should take to Krishna consciousness devotional service and abandon all ordinary occupational duties. This advice was also given by Lord Krishna himself. Although a devotee may fall from the path of spiritual consciousness, he will nonetheless attain a human body in the home of a devotee or a rich man. In this way, one can resume his devotional service. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaham Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyai Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Tam eva manasa grihnan babhuva pramadottama anantaram vidarbhasya rajasinghasya veshmani. King Puranjana gave up his body while remembering his wife, and consequently, in his next life, he became a very beautiful and well-situated woman. He took his next birth as the daughter of King Vidarbha in the very house of the king. Srila Prabhupada says this verse verifies what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that whatever one is thinking of at the time of death, or whatever state of being one remembers, that state he will attain without fail. And Srila Prabhupada expands on that, that it's not so easy as just what we're thinking of when we're awake, or what we try to think of when we're awake, but actually when we're lightly sleeping, dreaming, or deeply sleeping, whatever we're thinking of may be what is the state of consciousness that we have at the time of death. So to influence the subtle aspects of our consciousness or the subconscious mind and all of that is actually what we have to do. We have to actually go to a very deep level of absorption in our identity as a servant of Krishna, because the surface level Krishna consciousness isn't going to get rid of the problems of enjoying consciousness on these other levels of awareness. So we actually have to change our identity. It's not a superficial process. It's not belonging to an organization. It's not changing our name or our clothes or any of those things. It's actually changing our identity. I have to recognize that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada expresses in a lecture that whatever situation you create, as we're hearing here, is the situation that you will take in the next life. So one should learn to create a situation where he's the eternal servant of Krishna, and that will be the circumstance that he achieves next. So we have to, in other words, identify ourselves as devotees, or I am simply a servant of Krishna. That's the essence of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada says interestingly that if one is absorbed in material thoughts and ignorant of spiritual life, not taking shelter under the lotus feet of Govinda, Krishna, then he'll become a woman in his next life, especially if he thinks of his wife. So why is it that he becomes a woman if he's not thinking of his wife? It seems that that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. He becomes a woman in his next life in every case, but especially if he thinks of his wife. So I don't know the answer to that question, but in general, and earlier in this story of King Paranjana, Srila Prabhupada has commented that material nature itself means a woman, basically. I'm paraphrasing and taking the essence to utilize for this context. But just enjoying material life means that you're enjoying a woman. So if your consciousness is absorbed in material enjoyment, then your consciousness is absorbed in a woman. That woman is Maya. The goddess of fortune belongs to Krishna, and we cannot enjoy her. But when we have the desire to enjoy Krishna's energy, then he gives us his illusory potency so that we can enjoy as if we were enjoying, thinking that we're enjoying Krishna's energy. So, like yesterday's verse, we were hearing that whoever is attached to a woman will become a woman in his next life. Association with a woman is the cause of taking material birth. So, and then Madhukara Prabhu was discussing for woman it's man, and for man it's woman. Srila Prabhupada also states that elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a valid point. Also earlier in this story, he also says a woman or a man. In other words, the idea is if you're attached to one, material enjoyment, two, the most formidable form or the strongest form of bondage is sex life. So for a man, woman, woman, man, or for a man, woman, woman, depends on, I guess, what body you happen to have. We live in the age of sexual attachments of so many different kinds. So the idea is, on some level, thinking that you're going to be happy by manipulating material energy, and the grossest form of that is trying to manipulate another body to give you satisfaction, right? Sometimes it's just manipulating ideas or intellectual things, maybe poetry, music, philosophy, or it can be manipulating images in the mind and or scenes of the world, or it can be literally manipulating the physical things, and the grossest form of that is manipulating another living being for one's sexual enjoyment. So there are gradations of this attachment to materialistic life, the grossest being sex life, but all of them are in the same category, so to speak, that it's enjoyment of material nature. So whatever kind of enjoyment one has, Srila Prabhupada is saying, that has been recorded, karmana daiva netrena, that one's activities, both pious or impious, have been observed, and all of them will be taken into account when one is awarded his next body in the next life. There's no getting around it. Like, now I'm doing pious activities, but previously I was doing impious activities, so now I'm expecting to go to, you know, a nice place after this lifetime, but not necessarily. Or there will be some mixture or something, because all the activities have to be accounted for. This is the idea that some people think that Hinduism means, you know, or that the idea that all Hindus, they call us Hindus, so they're saying all the Hindus have this idea that moksha or liberation means that you do good activities to counteract your bad activities, and then when you've canceled out all the bad activities, then you know, zero, no more material bondage, and you go to whatever, salvation. Maybe some people who call themselves Hindus have that idea, I don't know, but the idea is faulty, because you can't cancel out material activities by doing good activities. They cannot be, one material activity cannot be destroyed by another material activity. Although atonement can be performed to remove the effects of karma that is being currently suffered, we understand, especially from Nectar of Instruction for us, that the subtle karmas that one is suffering from, or like we're hearing here, those things that are in the subconscious level, you know, the seed form and the form of the karma that hasn't come to fruition yet, the one that's about to come to fruition, all of these can't be touched by pious activities or by penances or austerities. So there's no way to overcome material karma of any sort by other material activities. You have to become completely rid of the material existence in itself, or your identity as the body, to be able to be transcendental to your karma. So, although one may do pious activities, one may get a better position, like King Paranjana. He's getting the position of a king's daughter because he performed so many pious activities, although he performed many sinful activities also. So therefore, he's stuck in the material world. But he got a better situation, a situation where he could enjoy material opulence as opposed to just suffering condition. So the conclusion of the purport Srila Prabhupada makes is that Narada Muni advised Vyasadeva, that was first canto, fifth chapter, I guess, that even if one gives up his normal occupational duties and takes to Krishna consciousness, even if he does that and then he falls down from Krishna consciousness, there's no loss, because that's the best thing that he possibly could have done, you know, for himself at that time. Whereas if a person just continues with his occupational duties and doesn't take to Krishna consciousness, then there's no benefit whatsoever, because he just has to take another material body. So, and in that context, he advises him, you should be attracting people to surrendering to Krishna, because if you're just attracting people to doing other kinds of material activities, you're just giving them the opportunity to take another body. You're not giving them the opportunity to come out of that. Now, in the Vedic system, that has value, because one can gradually progress himself towards the status of a Brahmana, and then a Vaishnava, and then back home back to Godhead. Gradually means millions of lifetimes, kind of gradually. But the system is there. However, in this day and age, that doesn't apply to any extent, because we can't even perform proper pious activities. Like King Paranjana, we're hearing he performed pious activities. What is a pious activity? It means that you have to have proper brahmanas, it means you have to have proper ingredients, it means you have to perform the rituals properly, the proper setting, time, place, and so many requirements, the amount of money required to put together the pious activity, the sacrifices and things like that. Srila Prabhupada has explained very clearly that this is not within our capacity even to do these things. The only yajna that we have is the Sankirtan yajna. Every other yajna is either attached to the Sankirtan yajna, like we offer our food to Krishna, or sometimes we do fire sacrifices and things like that. But these things are all dependent upon the Sankirtan yajna. None of the other yajnas have spiritual potency for us in this age, because we can't properly perform them according to Vedic rituals. So, or in other words, when we're offering things to Krishna, if it's devotional service, then it has value. If it's not devotional service, then the value is not only questionable, but it's not there. Improperly performed Vedic rituals don't result in pious credits. They result in a negative reaction. So, in other words, we can't even do what King Paranjana did. We don't have the opportunity to get another pious situation by being pious and sinful at the same time. The only opportunity we have is to be devotees, and then if we don't become completely liberated, purified devotees, Srila Prabhupada is saying that a devotee will attain the human body in the home of a devotee or a rich man, so that he gets the opportunity to continue with devotional service and achieve perfection in devotional service. So that's our only chance. That's the only chance for anybody, actually, in this world, that if they want to get a better situation in the next life, we don't know what everyone's karma is, but generally speaking, if they want to get a better situation in the next life, they have to be performing some kind of devotional service. Because that's the only thing that has any positive effect in this day and age. Pious activities. You know, people try to do things that they think are pious, but they're actually not counted in that category according to Vedic standards. So nobody has any hope but Krishna consciousness. It should be very clear. And people don't become confused. So, this is the just main some of the main points that I picked up from the purport and the verse. Any comments or questions? I'll keep the class not too long because I actually have to go to work this morning. Go ahead, Prabhu.
Thank you, Ashaya Prabhu, for class. Thank you. So just to clarify one more time, in this age of Kali, according to Vedic standards, there are actually no one is performing pious activities.
Wow.
So can that be a motivation for materialistic people who want to perform pious activities is to come to Krishna consciousness, ISKCON, so that they can, so probably we see a lot of that, maybe we see that, people that just come just so they can get pious activities and get good birth in the next life, maybe.
Right.
Interesting.
It can be a motivation, for sure. I don't know how many people are doing that, but...
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is a follow-up to that question. So, what are the consequences, or maybe also the indications, if we... Well, first, let me just preface this. You know, I'm thinking Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that there are four kinds of persons who come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And among those is people looking for some material benefit or basically mistaking pure devotional service for some kind of pious activity or fruitive karmakanda type. You know, they're not thinking in that way, but they're expecting, oh, I'll do this and it will give me something nice like that, you
okay.
know. Some material benefit. What?
I don't know, just a quick clarification. I don't know that they're mistaking pure devotional service for that. They just understand that Krishna can give them the material benefits, so they're going to Krishna. But what they're doing isn't pure devotional service. They're just asking Krishna for something.
Okay. Yeah.
They believe that Krishna can give it to them. That's in short. Like they have
mm-hmm.
faith in God. But it's not pure. Just I don't know if that clarifies that point. I just for me
yeah.
it didn't sound right.
Well, I just think, I guess, as a devotee, trying to be a devotee, trying for pure devotion, but understanding that I have this residual fruit of mentality, what kinds of obstacles will that create? You know, how will I be able to recognize that and root it out?
It will create unsteadiness. Because then when Krishna doesn't give you what you're expecting, then you'll slacken in your devotional service. So any time our enthusiasm in devotional service takes a notch down, we can understand I had some material expectation that hasn't been met. Enthusiasm is fueled by a spiritual conception of life. One who has a spiritual conception will never lose enthusiasm because he understands very clearly the only thing for me to do is to continue with devotional service. So somewhere our conception is that I'm supposed to be getting something particular in my Krishna consciousness in a material way. And so that's why I'm not enthusiastic as I was before. So as soon as we feel like that kind of depression in our enthusiasm, then we can understand I'm operating under some kind of material expectation at this point. Anishchita bhakti, in other words.
Okay.
There's some anarta that's there. And simple. There may be other ways to answer that question. I don't know.
At that point, is that introspection absolutely required, or will simply executing the process of devotional service automatically remove such impurity?
Introspection is good because it shows Krishna that I have a desire to understand where I need purification, but the introspection may not give us the answer. The introspection may just be, here Krishna, I'm interested to know, and then the answer will come some other way. You know, so we can try to understand. That's good because that means it's an indication to Krishna, I want to know, I want to get over this thing. And then, you know, however the clarification comes is a different matter. It may not be within our scope of knowledge or intelligence to figure it out. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Mataji, do you want to add anything so far to what they're saying? Okay.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking that it's interesting. I had a little realization today. And I'm sharing this with you. I don't know if it's proper realization. Number 4 in Shashashtakam, even birth after birth, right? Which Chaitanya says. And I was thinking about this incredible Sankirtan movement that we're part of. Mm. And that if one is completely absorbed in that, because we also read earlier this year, I remember Prabhuji, Nityananda Mahaprabhu, was reading, actually this was around Kartik that he read this. He said that whatever activities we're doing now we'll actually be doing in the spiritual world also. Mm. And I was thinking about then, let's just say we're completely absorbed in this Sankirtan movement. Right. Sleeping, thinking about, chanting the holy names with the other devotees and distributing Prabhupada's books,
right.
Feasting and you know, just really absorbed in that. And I'm thinking that actually then we might end up doing just that, taking birth after birth through this 10,000 years.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, or in another universe or something, I don't know. But yeah, the question is if we're absorbed in the Sankirtan movement, then that's what our circumstance will be.
And yeah, we'll end up coming back to the, we'll go back to Godhead, but in the material world.
Mm.
Is this true?
Yeah, I mean, one thing is, like he said, all of our activities are taken into account. So if we have really become purified from this subtle conception that I am an enjoyer, then we'll be free from a material next life. If we're not free from that, but we are absorbed in association of devotees, attached to the association of devotees, attached to devotional activities in relationship to Krishna, then we'll get some circumstance where we get the opportunity for that. What that will be exactly, I certainly don't know. I don't know that it's expressed anywhere. Srila Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse that says that he can take birth in the family of a devotee or, you know, a righteous family or maybe a family of rich person so that he doesn't have material problems. He can continue with his devotional service. So it may or may not be exactly in the Sankirtan movement. That's not specified.
I guess the reason that I brought it up was that the way that we've heard some of these verses from the Bhagavad Gita before about, you know, it's a nice setup. It seems like Krishna's really trying to arrange.
Yeah.
But I guess I was having the realization, and it seems like you're confirming this is correct, is that you can actually, you know, Krishna's reciprocating to the desire. The desire of the devotee might actually be, let me stay for every moment of this Sankirtan 10,000 years. If you're really into chanting Hare Krishna, you might actually, this might be Godhead for you. Like, let me stay for every moment, Lord Chaitanya.
Hmm. I don't know what he would do.
You continue to chant Hare Krishna and help him spread the Sankirtan movement.
Yeah, I honestly can't say that I know what Krishna would do. In essence, I mean, what we want is pure devotional service. So whatever brings us to that, what we should want is pure devotional service. So whatever brings us to that is what Krishna will give us if that's what we're after. I don't know if somebody just is like, I don't care about anything else, I just want to be in, you know, Sankirtan movement, what Krishna would do, I really don't know. I can't answer that question. I can't answer that question. The best thing is just to want pure devotional service. You know, the circumstances and all of that, it's like, you know, was Jagannath Das Babaji part of the Sankirtan movement? You know, was Madhvacharya part of the Sankirtan movement? Was Lord, you know, our parampara, was Narada Muni part of the Sankirtan movement? You know, I don't. So the configuration may not be so important. Rather, I'm engaged in the pure devotional service of the Lord, the association of his devotees. And that will definitely get us a good destination, we can know. If we're attached to a particular form of the thing, I don't know. I can't reference something to tell you the answer to that, so it would just be speculation on my part, so I won't say anything about it. But we should at least be desiring to get out of the material circumstance. That much we can say for our level of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada never says that we should desire to come back and be a part of the Sankirtan movement. He says, take advantage of this now and go back home, back to Godhead. So following that, you know, recommendation. And like you said, if we're doing the same activities in the spiritual world, then we should be happy, you know, to go there and do it. And if Krishna needs us and desires, he'll send us back. We don't have to worry about that. So that's how Yeah. If we want to keep chanting Hare Krishna, we can do that wherever Krishna sends us. You know, it doesn't. We don't have to give an address for it, or whatever, you know, he'll figure it out. That's the way that I think about it. Because it's Krishna's desire. If Krishna wants me to, you know, do something else, then that's what I want to do. Maybe somebody else has more insight into it. Karan and Nidhi Prabhu wants to say something.
Hare Krishna. Regarding happiness and distress,
happiness and distress.
Srila Prabhupada says that when one devotee chants with offense, then he enjoys happiness and distress. When a devotee chants offenselessly, then he gets the love of Godhead. Means,
yeah.
So,
in other words, because we're still not completely purified. Yeah. So then, but we'll come back with the opportunity to keep going, because that's what we want. We want to advance, so that we'll get a chance to advance. Yes, Prabhu.
Well, how long can we go on chanting offensively and just simply having happiness and distress?
like, there's no way that you can keep going if you're not making any... simple phrase, we're either moving backwards or we're moving forwards. So you can't be doing nothing.
Okay.
So one or the other is happening. So if we're going backwards, then we're not going to be chanting for too long. If we're going forwards, then the offenses are being reduced. So then we're making progress. So it has to be one or the other. There's no happy chant Hare Krishna and keep nullifying my sinful activities and stay in the material world process. It's not allowed. Can you give her the mic?
Be like chanting offenselessly. I think after a certain stage of practicing Krishna consciousness, you actually start depending on Krishna, and you leave it to Krishna, because Krishna looks at the heart. You know, we may be making mistakes. You know, even though our intentions are very sincere and like pure, trying to be pure, We may be making mistakes, but what Krishna sees is our sincerity. And if we sincerely pray to Krishna, I really want to chant offenselessly. I really want to serve you, you know, whenever you desire. You know, that should be the mood. And eventually, it's actually Krishna who actually removes the obstacles, removes the anarthas, removes everything. And then we start chanting with taste. It's not because of our own endeavors. Yes, endeavor has to be there, but it's not solely because of that. So, otherwise the fruitive mentality will continue. You know, oh, I've been chanting for 10 years. Have I moved forward? You know, it's a calculation. It's a material calculation. Spiritual things don't work like that. Finally, you have to completely depend on Krishna. You know, and the years don't matter. Nothing matters. What matters is your relationship with Krishna. Is it growing? And if it's growing, be confident that eventually Krishna will take you to the other side. It's basically how confident are you in Krishna. So you have to become very confident in Krishna. Don't worry so much like, I have fruitive mentality, I don't have taste, I have anarthas. Because otherwise you'll become anartha conscious instead of being Krishna conscious. So what is sweet is like, even when you make mistakes, consciously or unconsciously, what you can pray every day to Krishna is, even though I'm making mistakes, but Krishna, please see that I actually desire you. I really want to, you know, serve your devotees. Whenever that's going to happen, give me the patience, give me the tolerance. And then slowly the fruitive mentality will go. And you'll depend on Krishna. And then one fine day you'll say, wow, the anartha is gone.
Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan man prapadyate vasudeva sarvameti sama masuduvabhav. So the faster that we just, like, the point that I'm making is she's saying that, no, not for me, she's saying that we have to surrender to the fact that Krishna is actually controlling everything. And coming to that is actually the realization. Otherwise, you can go on with the rituals. Srila Prabhupada says transcendental rituals in the purport to that verse 7. Do you know what that verse is? 7:19? So, yeah, sounds right. So he says in there, one can go on for many, many lifetimes performing transcendental rituals. But if the consciousness doesn't come to surrendering to Krishna, then it keeps going. That also answers your question. For many, many lifetimes, you can chant Hare Krishna. But if you take this route that she's saying, then just accept it. I can't overcome this on my own. I'm just going to chant because it's pleasing to Krishna, and you know, hopefully he'll be merciful upon me. Thank you, Mataji, for that very nice comment. You were going to say something else before. It's okay? Okay. He said it's okay. He didn't want to add anything. Okay. I had something that I forgot, so we'll stop, I guess. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.